This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick.
Let's go surfing now. Everybody's learning how. Come on a safari with me.
Surfing. What could be more quintessentially Californian than that sport? It's just a perfect focus for our series, California Dreaming. The sport, though, is not just part of a dream. It's a big business here. And with today's economy, that business is feeling squeezed. Here's Day to Day's Alex Cohen.
Dave Hollander grew up in Palos Verdes, an area on the bay south of Los Angeles. He discovered the sport of surfing in the 1960s when he was 14 years old.
I was at a little place called Abalone Cove, and it was a little summer beach thing, and I was with my neighbor, and there was a couple surfboards there, these great big old boards, and it was kind of a beach break, shore break. It was not good conditions, and we asked somebody if we could try it, and we just went out and got pummeled for about 15, 20 minutes, and I go, wow, wait a minute, there's something here.
Hollander didn't just fall in love with surfing. He felt compelled to make his own surfboards. With no real training, he started tinkering in his parents' garage, shaping fiberglass boards into special custom designs. He had a natural talent for it. By the time he was just 17, Dave Hollander was selling his surfboards to just about everyone in his high school.
And I hired my best friend Tommy Curtis to work because I had too many orders. And I remember my mom came home, pulled up the driveway, opened the garage door, and there Tommy's in there shaping. She goes, what are you doing here, Tom? And he says, well, I work for Dave. And she says, no, you don't. And that was the end of my surfboard. That was out of the garage. I kind of blew the whole thing. I kind of forgot to tell her I had employees in the garage.
Eventually, Dave's mom let him work at a professional surfboard manufacturing company called Bing's Board Shop. As Dave and I stand together on Cypress Street in Hermosa Beach, he points out where Bing's once stood. Today, the block is filled with auto shops, but Dave says it wasn't always this way.
In the early 60s, right at the heyday of surfing, I'd say probably 70% of the surfboards in the United States were built here. They all shared workers, they all competed, they all had crazy parties. I mean, the history is, it's all true. They had a lot of fun back then. I don't think they had workers' comp.
Dave says the industry is less of a party now. Today, he's the president and CEO of a company called Becker Surfboards. He takes me inside the Becker warehouse. In one room, it looks like a snowstorm as puffs of fluffy white foam powder drift through the air. A blonde, shaggy-haired guy carefully planes a long piece of clean white foam, shaping it into what will soon become someone's one-of-a-kind dream board. It could cost anywhere from $400 to $700.
That's our specialty at Becker, is custom ordering boards. You come in, we make it exactly what you want. We'll put your mom's name on it. It's all hand-built. It takes about 3 weeks.
As we walk into another room that looks like a candle factory after a fire, our shoes stick to the floor. It's thickly coated with layers and splotchy spots of blue, green, red, and yellow.
This is called the laminating room, and each one of these boards is, as it's colored with resin, the resin drips down to the floor, obviously, because you have a certain amount of waste. And about once a month, they tear this floor up, and it's about 2, 3, maybe even 4 inches thick in resin.
That resin is a petroleum product, and that means prices have gone up lately a lot.
I believe it's over $1,000 a 55-gallon drum now, and I think we were paying $354 not too long ago. It's pretty devastating, actually.
There has been a sea change, pardon the bad pun, in the surf business. Until now, it had been one of the biggest sports industries in the U.S. In 2004, retail sales of surfboards were at $106 million. 2 years later, that number had nearly doubled. But recently, the price of raw materials has increased. The cost of rent in California has gone up, too.
There's nothing about this business that's gotten less expensive.
How has that affected the cost of the surfboards you make?
Well, they haven't gone up that much. It's just become more of a labor of love and less of a business from that standpoint.
And even as a labor of love, it's hard to survive. It's not just the cost of making surfboards that's risen. With the poor economy, people just aren't surfing as much right now. A few blocks away from the Becker Boards warehouse is the Becker Surf Shop on Pier Avenue. John Leninger has been working there for 28 years. He says lately business has been really off.
I think gas is probably the largest factor here. In this area, people tend on weekends maybe will drive, you know, 75, 80 miles from here.
Keep in mind, when you drive a vehicle large enough to fit a few surfboards, that usually means you're driving a bigger car with lower mileage. Suddenly, that trip to catch a few good waves can put you back $60 or $70. But surfers are crafty. Leninger says they've started looking to cheaper, greener alternatives. get this. Lately, here at Becker Surf, they've been selling a lot of racks to carry a surfboard on your bike.
You know, rather than driving down the beach and finding a parking down here and plugging the meters and everything else, a bike, you know, is a lot more reasonable for sure.
How do you deal with the surfboard on a bike?
Well, there's side mounts, which will hold a longboard. It doesn't get in the way. It's really easy to ride, and it's not cumbersome at all. You know, I've seen people have bike racks and put their board in, and they even put maybe a beach chair in with it, too.
But you can't bike to the world's best surf destinations, places like Australia, Fiji, Indonesia. With airfare prices soaring and extra fees to carry on luggage, like, say, a really big board, it is incredibly expensive to travel. Leninger says Hawaii used to be a spot he'd visit several times a year.
I was there in, February, and I was there again in April. And fares were, I think I paid, $360 round trip at that time. And now the cheapest I can see, probably $700. And that's minimum if you can even get that.
Okay, now this is the point in this story that I can almost hear the listener emails coming in. Boo-hoo, poor California surfers, they don't get to go to Hawaii. Life is tough. And that's not something lost on these guys either, says Becker Board CEO Dave Hollander. He realizes there are people and businesses in much worse shape.
It's good for us to hurt a little bit, too. I don't mind. I mean, I think it's building character in my family. We've been kind of living pretty good for the last few years, and we're definitely humbler.
But he also makes this clear. No matter how expensive it gets to surf, he'll surf.
There's something about, and I know it's going to sound corny because you've seen it in every Gidget movie ever, there's something about riding a wave that can't be explained until you try it. And once you try it and ride it and you get that smile or you see your little kid with that smile, you're hooked.
Priceless?
Priceless? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I've had two melanomas in the last 2 years, and this one on my face was supposed to kill me. And I'm still out there because I hate to say it, but I think I'd rather die than not go surfing. Sorry. That's the truth.
Dave doesn't have any big surf trips planned this year, but he's discovered a new thrill, he says, keeping his business afloat. Alex Cohen, NPR News.
You can see Dave Hollander catching the waves at npr.org/daydreaming. Maybe you're not into surfing, but you love music. If you do, go to npr.org/daydreaming. Later today, Randy Newman will serenade you with his classic tune, I Love L.A. That's Day Today's official blog. It's called Daydreaming, and you can find it at npr.org/daydreaming. Worth the trip.